Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. We'll be doing verses 1 through 18. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man named John the Baptist to tell about the light that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are born not with a physical birth, or reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passions or plans, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, whom is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." The Word of God for the people of God. So we're continuing our series on the Apostles' Creed. Last week we talked about God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. This week we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, our Lord. Y'all, when we talk about that Jesus came to earth, that Jesus put on flesh and came as a little baby, one of the things that's really hard, and I was talking to the kids about it earlier, for us to really grip is that isn't where Christ began. That earthly birth was not the beginning of Christ, because in the beginning, Christ was there. In the beginning, Christ was with God when God created the heavens and God created the earth. In the beginning, when God created man, he created Adam from the dust and Eve from the rib of Adam. Christ was there. It even says at the fall, when God says we must remove them from the garden or they will become like us, using the plural. Christ was there. Christ is eternal. Christ is much bigger than just what we think of on Easter and Christmas, because Christ is God. That's hard for us to wrap our brains around, our finite human brains. And that's one of the reasons that Christ had to come. Because we try to envision what God is. We try to understand God. We write books about what God is, God's nature. I get up here and preach about the nature of God. But we only have our human brains, our human senses to be able to understand. So God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ to us, where God put on flesh. God became human. Because you know what we can't do? We can't become God. For us to be able to understand God, God had to be in human form for us to be able to really relate to him. When I talk about the Trinity with people, when I'm on a one-on-one conversation, people say Jesus is the easiest part of the Trinity to understand. Understanding God the Father is just too vast. Understanding the Holy Spirit's just weird. But Jesus is easier. And y'all, that's the reason Jesus Christ came. That's the reason Christ was born, was so that it would be something we could understand and we could actually comprehend. We can't comprehend Christ fully, but we can comprehend what the man of Christ was. We can comprehend a person. And that's why God came to us, because we can't come to Him. We can't raise ourselves up enough to understand God, but God could bring Himself to us to where we can understand Him. John came and shouted to the crowds that this man was coming. John the Baptist yelled out to the people that the light of the world was on its way in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus came, and yes, Jesus preached to crowds of people, 5,000 at one time. But Jesus had 72 people that really followed Him. And of that 72, 13 that were considered His true disciples, right? He touched the lives of those people. Those few people then went out and touched the lives of other people and turned the world up on its head. All of them proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master. Now we today say Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we say it, we need to really understand what we're saying with Jesus Christ being Lord. We're saying Jesus is our ruler. That Jesus is numero uno in our lives. That Jesus is the one we follow. We get into a lot of political conversations in election years. And this is an election year, so hold on if you're not ready. Things get weird in election years. We talk about all of the different leaders that we're going to elect and all the different powers in the world and who's in control of this. But people, we're Christians. We are Christ followers. Jesus Christ is our ultimate Lord. Jesus Christ is the one that we should be looking to. Jesus Christ is the one that should rule our lives. And Jesus Christ told us what we are to do. We have all these laws of men that we try to follow. Christ's laws were a lot simpler. Christ's law was, believe in me and love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if we follow those, there are very few laws of men we're going to be breaking. But those are the laws that we need to follow. We need to follow Christ's law. Now, when we're doing that, we're going to end up influencing people. We're going to end up touching people's lives. I just told you, Jesus had 72 people that were considered His true followers, and 13 were His disciples. And those people went out and were able to flip the entire world on its head. Those people influenced all the way to the point of me being here today. So in your life, and you're going out there, and you're trying to do what Christ wants you to, you don't have to change the world. You don't have to save the world. You don't even have to affect the world. But can you affect one person? Can you take one person and show them the love of Christ? Or two people and show them Christ's love, affect their life in a positive way, and give them the message of love through the way you act. Because if you can do one or two people, and you can do one or two people, and you do one or two people, and we all go out and just affect one or two people's lives, and those people continue forward affecting other people's lives, we turn the entire world on its head. And we do all this through the love of Jesus Christ. Because we believe Jesus Christ has come into our lives. We believe Jesus Christ has affected our lives. So if we start to truly show that out in the world, if we start to really show that Jesus Christ is our Lord, the world will get turned upside down. Through Jesus Christ, we can turn the world on its head. Not by trying to fix everything, but just by trying to work with one or two people. just by trying to affect the lives of one or two people for the better. So what's required of us to do that? Because that's the real question that people would have on this. If Jesus is our Lord and we're supposed to mirror Jesus, we're supposed to look like Jesus in people's lives. You know, I know there are a couple of you out there that are perfect. Lonnie, you know. But for the rest of us that aren't perfect, you know, I don't often mirror Jesus. I don't do it well. I try. But I'm striving every day to try. I had a preacher once tell me, he said, the worst thing that ever happened was the WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? Because you're supposed to look just like Jesus. He said, none of us can live up to that. Nobody can live up to being Jesus. That's the reason we needed Jesus. So what we need to do instead of trying to say, hey, I've made it to perfection, is each day, am I better than I was yesterday? Each day, am I more like Jesus today than I was yesterday? And that doesn't mean you're a saint. That doesn't mean that everything's perfect. But if you try each day to make that day better than the day before, if you try each day to be a little more like Jesus, you go down the line 2 or 3 years, and you know what's going to happen when people see you? They're going to look at you and go, that's a man of God right there, or that's a woman of God right there. And those one or two people that you're trying to affect the lives of, that you're pouring yourself and your love out into in the world, they're going to see it, and they're going to know Jesus Christ through your actions. They're going to know Christ through you and what you're doing, because every day you're trying a little bit harder. Every day you're trying for a little bit more to be like Jesus. And at that point, we talk about, do you need to preach the gospel? At that point, your life is preaching the gospel. Your life is preaching Jesus Christ, because every day you're striving a little bit more to be like Christ. So when we do the Apostles' Creed and we say, we believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We believe in Jesus Christ. That's what we're saying. To believe is to act. It means we're willing to act the way Christ wanted us to. And Christ said, this is my commandment, love one another. So every day, try to be a little more like Christ and realize you don't have to save the world. You don't have to change the world. If you can change the life of one or two people, that will change the world. Amen. Bow your heads and let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for sending Jesus Christ to put on flesh for us, to show us the way, to give us something we could understand, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins that he has offered, and for his righteousness that we get to share in for eternity. Lord, forgive us for what we have done wrong. Forgive us when we're not hitting the mark that you want us to. And give us the wisdom and the strength to push forward and to try and be a little more like Christ every day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.